As we continue this morning looking at the book of Acts, this morning we're in Acts chapter 16, verses 16 through 34. One day, as we were going to the place of prayer, we met a slave girl who had a spirit of divination and brought her owners a great deal of money by fortune telling. While she followed Paul and us, she would cry out, "These men are slaves of the Most High God, who proclaim to you a way of salvation." She kept doing this for many days. But Paul, very much annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, "I order you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And it came out that very hour. But when the owners saw that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the authorities. When they had brought them before the magistrates, they said, "These men are disturbing our city. They are Jews and advocating customs that are not lawful for us as Romans to adopt or observe." The crowd joined in attacking them, and the magistrates had them stripped of their clothing and ordered them to be beaten with rods. After they had given them a severe flogging, they threw them into prison and ordered the jailer to keep them securely. Following these instructions, he put them in the innermost cell and fastened their feet in stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was an earthquake, so violent that the foundation of the prison was shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's chains were unfastened. When the jailer woke up and saw the prison doors wide open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, since he supposed that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted in a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." The jailer called for lights, and rushing in, he fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them outside and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They answered, "Believe on the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your whole household." They spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. At the same hour of the night, he took them and washed their wounds. Then he and his entire family were baptized without delay. He brought them into the house and set food before them, and he and his entire household rejoiced that he had become a believer in God. This is the word of God for all of us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. When I was growing up, we had this rule in my house during the summer, and we called it the 10-minute rule. The way the rule worked was that after my sister and I declared that we were done eating dinner, our parents would set the microwave timer for 10 minutes, and we had to wait for it to go off before we could go back outside and play. My parents claimed this rule was about food digestion, that we had to have time for our food to digest. But to be honest, I don't really buy that. I don't know if they were trying to make going outside seem like a reward that had to be waited for, or to get us to have family conversation around the dinner table, or if they just started it one day and then they kind of realized it was pointless, but they didn't want to go back on the rules, so we just kept it. But whatever the reason, I remember those being the 10 longest minutes of every day, especially since our next door neighbors, they didn't have this rule. So we could stare out the back door and see them playing outside while we were stuck inside. I remember fighting with my sister as to who would be the first one out the back door the second the microwave timer went off. As a kid, this was ultimate freedom. Those 10 minutes without freedom were all that we needed to see how important the freedom was in our lives. As we continue to look at the book of Acts this morning, we encounter a story about the importance of freedom. Now, there's a lot happening in this scripture. That was a long scripture you just heard. But Paul and Silas, they're in Macedonia in Europe, where they went in the earlier part of chapter 16 in response to a dream. And there they met Lydia, and her household were converted to the faith. Now, in this scripture, they meet a slave girl who's under possession of a spirit, and Paul heals her. But then Paul and Silas, they get arrested. They end up in jail. They get freed by an earthquake. And then the jailer and his entire household are converted to the faith. So what's really going on in this scripture? Well, as the book of Acts is progressing, it's demonstrating what the church is supposed to be. And here we encounter a new pillar of the church. The church is a place of freedom. People know what it's like not to be free. And so the message of this scripture is, come and be a part of this community of faith, and you will experience freedom. Freedom is found here through Christ. So this morning, we're going to look at those in the story who are freed. The slave girl, Paul and Silas, and finally the jailer. And in doing so, we're going to talk about how we might experience freedom today. So first, let's start with the slave girl. It's pretty clear in the scripture why she needs freedom. She's oppressed. She's oppressed by this spirit that in some way allows her to see or predict the future. And even more so, she's oppressed because she's owned by these men who use that spirit to get money for themselves. And as she cries out after Paul and the rest of them for many days, eventually we're told that Paul gets annoyed by her. And so he orders the spirit out. Now, we don't really know why Paul is annoyed. If he's annoyed because this girl has been following him around for days, saying the same thing over and over, or if he's annoyed because the girl is held captive in this way, or if it's a little bit of both. But regardless of the reason, Paul, through the power of Christ, sets her free from this spirit. Now, the thing is, we don't know what happens to the slave girl after this moment. She's never mentioned again. She never comes back up in the book of Acts. The focus of the story changes back to Paul and Silas. But what we do know is that she, in some way, experienced freedom in Christ. Paul went against those in power and what they demanded in order to offer her freedom. Paul offered her this type of freedom that's only found through Christ. And so while we don't know what happens to this girl after this, we know that she has been saved by Christ. She has experienced the freedom that only Jesus gives. And this same kind of freedom, it's offered to us today. The problem is that we sometimes miss the opportunity for freedom because we don't realize that we even need it. As people who often on the surface have more privilege than oppression, as people who often have more choices than things that hold us back, as people who might not be as obviously captured as the slave girl is, we miss the truth that we need the freedom of Christ as well. Our captivity just looks different than hers does. For example, there are those of us who are held captive by the expectation of others. We have people that tell us that we need to be this certain kind of successful or this certain kind of way in our work or in our relationships or in our lives. And we hear those expectations so much that the drive to live up to them starts to identify us solely, instead of the freedom that we could have as being identified as beloved children of God. There are those of us, too, who are held captive by anxiety and fear. Whether it's the fear that's proclaimed in our world or personal fear and anxiety about our own lives, we're drawn into fear in such a way that it controls our decisions and the actions of our day, and it controls our minds when we're awake at night, unable to sleep. And there are those of us who are held captive by being right. We become so convinced that this idea or way or decision has to be the right and only way, that this thing that we become so certain of in our lives, it ends up controlling us, and we miss out on the freedom of the gospel of Christ. There are those of us who are held captive by those things and so many other things. We're held captive by money or power or our schedules or our egos or our possessions. But whatever it is that holds us captive, the good news is that freedom from captivity is offered to us as well. The same freedom of Jesus that the slave girl received, That freedom is available to each and every one of us. Our faith offers us freedom from captivity. Our faith also offers us freedom so that we can offer freedom to others. We see this as the story continues, as the action shifts from the slave girl to Paul and Silas. We learn that the owners of the slave girl are not happy with Paul and Silas, so they have them thrown in jail. Interestingly, though, the charges that they bring against Paul and Silas have nothing to do with the slave girl. Perhaps they thought that even the Romans wouldn't want to put in captivity two guys who were only trying to free other people. But the owners, they successfully get Paul and Silas jailed for not the first or the last time in the book of Acts. This time, while they're praying and singing to God in the middle of the night, there's an earthquake. And the earthquake causes all the jail doors of the jail to open, and everybody's chains are unlocked. Of all the people in the scripture, Paul and Silas, they're set free in the most literal and concrete way. They were in chains, they were in prison, and now they are not. They were locked up, and now they're free. But that's not really what freedom is about for them. Because if it was, they just would have left the jail. Instead, they stay. And by staying, they're able to offer freedom not only to the other prisoners, but also to the jailer. Something that Paul and Silas sang or prayed while they were in jail that night must have had a great impact on the other prisoners. If not, they too would have been out the second that those jail doors were open and their chains fell off. But somehow they had already gotten the message that night that the freedom of Christ was greater than temporary freedom from jail. And by staying, those prisoners allow too for the jailer to experience freedom. We're gonna get to the jailer in a second, but first, let's talk about how we might be free to offer freedom to others. When we accept the salvation of Christ, when we trust in the freedom of Christ, we become free to point others to freedom. Since we're all held captive by something, we all need freedom. And we're often called to be the ones who point others to Christ and the freedom that Christ offers, especially when we have experienced the same kind of captivity in our own lives. We're freed from captivity. We're free so that we can offer freedom to others. And finally, as we're going to see with the jailer, we receive our freedom through Christ alone. The jailer wakes up with this earthquake, and seeing all the doors open, expects to find the jail empty. That's why he draws his sword to kill himself, because he knows that if the Roman government finds out that he let a bunch of prisoners escape under his watch, they're going to kill him anyway. But then Paul calls out to him and tells him that everybody is still there. And the jailer, he doesn't respond with why or how, but with these words, "What must I do to be saved?" In that moment, the jailer realizes that somehow he, the free one, is the one that lacks freedom. And somehow, Paul and Silas, the prisoners, they're the ones who are actually free. But isn't that how it works? That sometimes the people who seem to have the most opportunities and choices and avenues in their life are often the least free among us. And Paul and Silas, they answer the jailer, not by giving him a list of things to do before he's free, or a list of beliefs he has to learn and practice, or a list of Bible verses to memorize, but with these simple rules, words: believe on the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved. It's almost too good to be true, isn't it? That all the jailer would have to do is believe in the freedom and the salvation that Jesus is offering. And yet that's exactly what Paul and Silas tell him. And that's exactly the same good news that's true for us today. Because the question, what must I do to be saved? That's still a question that we're going to ask in our own lives. Maybe we won't ask it with the immediacy of the jailer, but when we have that nagging feeling that something isn't right, when we find ourselves drained of hope, when we start to sense that our lives are falling apart, when we're losing our way, When we're held captive by those expectations or that fear or that self-importance, all we have to do is be exactly like the jailer and believe in the salvation and freedom that's offered to us through Christ. Christ offers freedom. Christ offers salvation. All those things that hold us captive in life, none of them are too big for Jesus. Believing in Jesus means that we're set free. Believing in Jesus means that we give up our efforts to fix everything ourselves. Believing in Jesus means that we don't have to fear. Believing in Jesus means that salvation and freedom is sometimes more important than being right. That's what the scripture shows us. Our faith is one of freedom. And then as those who are free, we offer freedom to others. I was, and I still am, a big fan of the TV show The West Wing. It aired in like the late 90s, early 2000s, and you can still watch it today on Netflix. It's a show about the inner workings of the West Wing of the White House during a fictional presidency. At one point, early on in the series, the deputy chief of staff is going through some stuff in his life, and the chief of staff tells him this story. He says, "This guy's walking down the street when he falls in a hole. The walls are so steep that he can't get out. A doctor passes by, and the guy shouts up, 'Hey, you, can you help me out?' The doctor writes a prescription, throws it down the hole, and moves on. Then a priest comes along, and the guy shouts up, 'Father, I'm down in this hole. Can you help me out?' The priest writes out a prayer, throws it down in the hole, and moves on. Then a friend walks by. 'Hey, Joe, it's me. Can you help me out?' our guy says. And the friend jumps into the hole. Our guy says, 'Are you stupid? Now we're both down here.' The friend says, 'Yeah, but I've been down here before, and I know the way out.'" Sometimes we find ourselves stuck in a hole in need of freedom. And by the grace of God, somebody comes along and jumps in the hole with us and shows us that Jesus is the way out. And sometimes in life, we're the person that walks down and sees our friend in a hole. And we jump down and we point them back to Christ. And that's really the good news of this story. And that's the good news of our faith. When we as humans are left to our own devices and end up stuck in holes, Jesus rescues us to freedom. Not because of what we do, but because he loves us. And so whatever holds you captive, trust that Jesus offers you freedom. And when you've experienced that freedom, point others to the freedom found only in Christ. Amen. As we enter in this morning to our time of prayer, I invite you to note the names on our circle of concern and keep those folks especially in your prayers in the upcoming week. Let's join together now in a time of prayer. Gracious and holy God, we thank you for the freedom that is offered to us through Christ. Lord, whatever it is that holds us captive, God, we ask that we might turn to you for freedom. And then, Lord, as people who have been set free, guide us to how we might offer your good news of freedom to others. Lord, we thank you that you are a God who hears our prayers, who's with us in our times of need. Lord, we pray for those in times of transition and change. We pray for those needing to make good choices. We especially lift up Matthew this morning. Lord, as we enter these summer months, we pray for those who will travel for vacation to see family. Lord, especially this morning, we pray for Chris and family as they travel this week. Lord, we know that you hear all of our prayers. So we pray for those who are in need of healing, whether physical or spiritual or emotional. Pray for Dell facing surgery this week, for Abby, for Judy and Maureen recuperating from surgery. We lift up Wayne. We pray for David in the hospital with an infection. We pray for Frank recovering from a fall. Lord, for all these people and for the ones that we hold in our hearts, we pray your grace and love to be with them. Lord, we pray for those who are in the darkness of grief. God, we pray that your light of peace might shine in their lives. We pray too today, God, for concerns throughout our community and our country and our world. We pray for those who don't have enough. Pray for those who have no place to call home. We pray for the leaders of our country, for wisdom and guidance for them. Pray for places throughout our world that have been torn apart by violence or disaster or destruction. Lord, we pray for peace. We pray that we might be your peacemakers in this world. Most of all today, God, we give you thanks for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, for the life he lived among us, for his death and resurrection, so that we too might have the freedom to experience real and abundant life, both now and for all eternity. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.